Hello and welcome to the Pals Anime Lounge, a podcast where a bunch of pals get together to talk about anime. Pals are Artura.
Hello, everyone.
And Gozagoz.
Hello.
And I'm your host, Ace. In today's episode, we are talking about First Kiss Story, aka First Kiss Monogatari, an OVA from 2000. I chose this one because I wanted something short. We've had, long stuff recently. It was animated by Garyu Studio, the company behind Pia Carrot 2 DX. And that's it. That was a 6-episode OVA.
So basically, this is the second thing they ever make?
I don't know if this came first or that came first, but yeah, they made 7 episodes of total, and that's it.
Well, rest in peace, I guess, because that's a long time ago by this point.
First Kiss Story currently has a My Animalist score of 4.89. And blah, 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 Monogatari. Developed by Glee and released in 1998. This OVA acts as a sequel to the game. You wouldn't know it because the Wikipedia page, until I changed it, had the plot for this OVA, a plot of the game.
I can't find the game, at all. I haven't been able to. Is that, where do I look at it?
I found it by look at First Kiss Monogatari. If you look up First Kiss Story, it's just people, ooh, they're going to kiss. Oh, this is my First Kiss Story. And yeah, okay, I want an anime. I want a game. Go away.
Found it. Perfect. Anyway, so you go on.
My summary for this movie is, a lonely girl misses her boyfriend, but is there someone new on the horizon? Atsura, what do you have?
After confessing her love to Yoshihiko right before he heads off to college, now Kana must battle long-distance relationship and loneliness in her newfound relationship.
And goes.
Kana has problems with her main squeeze when her new teacher turns out to be, totally hot like her dead dad, and her bestie Ayaka wants to, totally bang him. That bitch!
That was, great. Okay, we open on a guy walking away from two women, and then I began to worry because we've certainly had more action-packed cold opens.
When we first started, I was shocked because I was like, wait a minute. I had to check again that I didn't skip anything or sign in the wrong anywhere because I was why are they just walking away? It was so jarring.
Well, I believe since this is a sequel that's how Kana's story ends. That's the Kana ending in the game. 12 ladies that you can roam in the game, so that'll be the Kana / Canon ending.
I do love it when there's for instance, in Clannad, I really like it when they follow the main story and then you can see one of the endings as an anime. So that's really cool. I'm really happy about this. Anyway, sorry, I keep derailing it. Oh my gosh. Go on.
You derail it more when you highlight how much you're derailing it.
I will stop.
The ladies are mother and daughter, and Mum tells Kana to tell the lad about her feelings. So she races over and confesses her love. He tells her the same, and they kiss. And then we get the title, which seems to just be a description of what just happened, First Kiss Story.
No, that's it. That's where the anime completely ends, because that's where it should end. It was the first kiss. We're done. Good day, everyone.
Story is, they kiss. That's it.
7-minute episode. Wow, so happy.
There's a time skip to Kana's bedroom where the phone rings and Kana answers, is Yoshihiko. That's her boyfriend's name. And he admits that over the past year, he didn't really have time to care about you. I am not certain about the subtitles in this thing. He's calling to cancel a date that they had planned and any future dates that they might have because he's in charge of a big project. Goz, would you like me to mention the other subtitle that might be wrong?
Yes.
Because he says, it seems that the professor fancies me.
And then he entrusted me with a big project.
Yeah, I think the subtitles may have been a bit literal rather than this is what it means. It'll be this is what it says. So the professor doesn't fancy him. The professor likes
him like a student, not like, yeah. like. I found that really funny too. Oh, the professor fancies me. I was like, oh wow, we're going like straight into it, huh?
She tries to reassure him that it's fine, because she's too busy anyway with entrance exams. But yeah, she's not fine. Kana goes downstairs to have breakfast, cooked by Mom, who immediately guesses why Kana looks upset. Kana tells her to STFU, and her sibling arrives in the room.
I want to mention that the mom is making eggs and bacon, which strikes me like unusual for the Japanese family to eat for breakfast, but I don't know.
My next note is, wait, is that salad on the table? Salad, fried eggs, and ham for breakfast?
Hey, what would you have rathered? Fish and sushi? Jesus. They're human too. They can like egg.
Salad. It's the salad bit that I'm stuck on.
Yeah, I have no argument for that one.
Like, I've seen an anime that they'll like fry pork chops to have for breakfast. But why was there a bowl of salad on the table? Kana thanks Mom for the food and leaves. So Mom tells the sibling some important news. And we get a wah.
And that's it. That's all. Like, I was like, oh no, the intrigue. The drama. No, I really didn't care by this point. I was still like, are you kidding me? Just tell me or move on.
At school, Kana is joined by her friend Ayaka, and who also correctly guesses what's wrong. Kana is like an open book to the people around her.
I mean, didn't you correctly guess what was wrong without even watching this anime? Before the anime started, I already knew what the problem was going to be. That's how much... She's an open cover at this point.
In class, the teacher introduces a student teacher who would be with them for the next 2 weeks, Hayakawa. Ayaka announces that she's going to date the teacher, but Kana doesn't look up until Hayakawa has been talking for like a minute. It's her dad! Okay, it's actually someone who just looks like her dad, but she looks up and says, Dad!
You know, I don't know, this is a bit of an off-topic sort of thing, but this has never happened to me. I've never looked at a relative of mine and been like, oh my god, you look so much like my mom. Like, is it just me being stupid? Or does it happen to you and your family as well?
I see similarities between some people. One of my uncles looked like my dad, but I wouldn't have confused them.
Yeah, because like it's such a typical thing, and it happened. I was watching the Fallout show yesterday, and they keep mentioning that the protagonist looks a lot like her mom, and I was like, that's never happened to me. I've only been told a few times that it looked like members of my family, but it just happens so often, and I never notice it. That I just it's such a show and anime thing.
I suppose if like. You didn't see a person in a long time, and then you saw someone who looks very similar to them, like a relative, then you could confuse them. Because, like...
Kana literally has a photo of her dad on her nightstand.
Wait, that's a good point.
Maybe she doesn't look at it. And to be fair, he does, in the photo, he does look the same as the teacher.
Anyway, later, while going to eat lunch, Kana runs into Hayakawa, literally. He also immediately guesses that she's having trouble with her boyfriend, which causes her to snap at him, and she runs off with Ayaka.
You can't spell Hayakawa without Ayaka.
After eating... Ayaka is talking about the mysterious new teacher when Kana overhears two classmates talking about cheating long-distance lovers. Ayaka tries to distract her, and after school they go to a diner. Apparently, graduation is coming soon, and Kana is hoping to get into the university that Yoshihiko is attending. Suddenly, Kana overhears two more students talking about cheating relationships, so she leaves upset.
She does that a lot, doesn't she? Like, just gets upset and walks away from the situation. She by this point, it's like the third time she flees from someone. Can you imagine how frustrating? Like, I know I leave calls all the time when we're in the middle of a meeting, but that's too much. At least I come back.
Arriving home, she sees unfamiliar shoes and is hopeful about the identity of the house guest. But no, it's Hayakawa. And this is the news that Mom wanted to tell Kana, that he's going to be staying with them for the next fortnight. As it transpires, he's related to Kana and her sister because he's a second cousin on the father's side, which is why Kana said that he looked like her dad. Kana is upset that this has all been sprung on her, but Hayakawa explains that the apartment he was supposed to be renting was getting torn down. How close to moving in was it before he was told, you cannot live here because there is not going to be a building?
Wait, that's a good point. I didn't realize that. He's like at the front door and they're like, oh, I'm sorry, this building no longer exists.
Like, he rocks up in the taxi and is fenced off with demolition experts wandering around the place. Kenna snaps that she's taking exams, so she doesn't need this stress. But Mom counters that since her grades have been slipping recently, the student teacher could help her. So Kenna storms off. Later that night, she's roaming the hallways of the house, for some reason, and sees a light on in one of the rooms. She goes to the door, wondering if her father has returned to life, but no, it's Hayakawa. He explains that he's looking for a book, and the pair have an actual conversation, leaving Kana in good spirits. We cut to morning, with Kana waking bolt upright, realizing she's running late. Her sister and Hayakawa are going out of the door when Kana asks why nobody woke her up. We get no answer, instead getting a montage of in-school and out-of-school moments of Hayakawa, Kana, sister, and Mom. No, I did not write down sister's name, and I didn't even notice if Mom got a name. One day, because we don't know how much time has passed, Kana calls Yoshihiko, but gets the answering machine. Now see, before, like, voicemail was a thing, you had to have an answering machine. For all you young'uns listening to this podcast.
You freaking millennials. Get out of here!
No, we're millennial. No, I'm a millennial. You're not a millennial. You're younger than me.
I am 90 years old, excuse me.
The twirliest mustaching twirly mustache.
Later, sister comes out of the bathroom and Kana heads in to take a bath before Mom. And I thought we'd see her in the bath, but luckily we did not.
Damn it, no unexpected nudity this time.
You wanted to see Mom in the bath?
Well, more than I want to see the student in the bath. Anyway.
I wanted to see the teacher in the bath.
Sister and Mom discuss how Kana seems to be back to normal compared to while Yoshihiko has been ghosting her. Mom is fine with Hayakawa and Kana hooking up, but Sister doesn't get to say one way or the other before he enters the room. Sister tells him that he's had a positive effect on Kana. Oh, BTW, it's almost the anniversary of Dad dying. LOL. Since it happened on Valentine's Day, and Kana makes chocolates for everyone, Sister observes that Kana won't have time to make chocolates because she's going to have to rush off to exams right after visiting the cemetery.
My dad died on Valentine's Day. Saint Valentine came back to life and shot my dad point blank. I hate Valentine's Day.
You've just created a new light novel there.
Saint Valentine killed my dad?
Is that Saint the title? Valentine's came back to life and shot my dad point blank.
That's the full title. And like every two words are written in a different font for style points.
Why do they do... No, we're an anime podcast, not a light novel podcast. Or a visual design podcast. Anyway, the phone rings, and Sister picks up. It's Yoshihiko, who agrees to meet up with them at the aqua park when they go to visit. Speaking of, we cut to some bouncing breast bikinis. I mean, the pool. Ayaka groups Kana's boobs from behind before they get in the pool, and we see that Yoshihiko and Hayakawa are satin loungers off to
Ace and Pie, your breasts grew again.
I do wonder, is that a thing in Japan? Because it's in anime all the time.
Right? It's horrible. It's like, oh my gosh, Ei-senpai, your balls grew again. No, that's not okay.
No one touches their balls. It's just boobs.
No, but see, that's the equivalent for males. It's horrible.
I mean,
I don't think it's the same thing, but I understand what you're going for.
I mean, I was going to say that from, like, real life stories I heard is Japanese people are really, are typically really timid, and they don't say what they think almost ever, which is the main character and her boyfriend. So I feel like maybe the boobs groping is also a thing.
There's always just one really aggressive girl who grabs the other girls.
It's basically a Hollywood stereotype.
I imagine that type of person would like appear once in a while just to challenge the norm of people who are just can't say what they think to each other.
Yeah, that's true. So Yoshihiko has a flashback to what must have happened like an hour ago when he met the student teacher and was told that he's not Kana's boyfriend. Both things seem to concern him. Maybe call your damn girlfriend more than once every 12 months. Back to the present. Like an hour later, Hayakawa threatens to take Kana from him, which was weird. A bikini-clad former classmate of Yoshihiko's comes over to talk to him, and Kana gets the wrong impression.
Wait, does he threaten to take her from him? What does he say?
I forget exactly, but it's along the lines of you better be careful with her or she's mine or something.
I thought he said he was looking at them playing and he said, I feel like I want them like you would say you want them as your children.
Well, it may have been the subtitles, but he did have a concerned look on his face.
I mean, I would imagine that the boyfriend to get, I mean, he gets concerned over every single thing, like Kana does.
True.
Instead of talking to each other, they're like, oh, I wonder if he thinks this. Oh, I wonder if she thinks that.
Well, speaking of that, later they all leave the aqua park where Yoshihiko and Kana both talk at cross purposes and break up. It's like, oh, you want a date? Oh, maybe I do want to date him, but I don't want to date him, but I do want to date him. Oh, well, I'm going.
Wow. Were you there in my first relationship breakup?
Yes.
Typical teenager, like, breakup story, huh? Yeah, well, you're stupid. I'm done. I need some space between you. Which, by the way, is the literal translation for what she said, according to the subtitles.
Later, Kana is crying in her room when she sees it snowing, so she goes out to cry in the snow.
Because it's more aesthetic. You don't know. You can only cry in the snow every once in a while, and also you mostly want to cry in a shower, because it conceals the tears.
No, because her tears would turn into snow midair and transform into a butterfly who flies to the boyfriend and sends him a message of love and they reconnect.
That's a different anime. We cut to Hayakawa packing his suitcase as he's leaving. The others are getting ready to visit the cemetery, but they all wind up going together, so I don't know what the purpose of that scene was. Someone has already left some burning incest.
Freudian slip.
I mean, they're cousins.
Burning incest. We could all make this much more exciting anime with all of our different ideas.
I mean, it is a sequel. Sequels are supposed to be bigger and louder and better than the original. Someone has already left some burning incense, and Kana assumes it was Yoshihiko. despite what Sister said before about Kenna having to leave right away, they all return home and have a proper goodbye for Hayakawa. Outside of the gate, Yoshihiko overhears Sister suggesting that Hayakawa takes one of the trio of women as his girlfriend. So he starts crying and wanders off.
In that trench coat.
Okay, I don't know why that's funny, but it is.
I know, it's like, like he's a young man, but he wears a trench coat for that scene. He went away to college and he got into noir novels. That's why he never calls and wears a trench coat.
Kenna is about to run after him, but stops to get approval from her family before doing so. She catches up to him and then we get a slow montage of the pair at a fun fair, ending on a Ferris wheel, where we find out that Kenna did get into the same university as him, and they kiss. And we get the credits with boring music. Oh, and there's an AMV at the end, which is fine. At least the music's better. So, was this a good adaptation?
I couldn't find the gameplay that wasn't in Japanese.
It wasn't released outside of Japan.
Okay, then I could not help. I'm sorry.
I didn't find it either, but I'm gonna guess that it was.
Well, as it's a sequel, no, not really. It doesn't adapt the... It adapts the characters, some of the characters. Because you got the sister, the friend, Kenna herself, the main character. And that's it. But there are 12 love interests. There's some of the same locations. There's a brief, like, minute and a half in the diner. And that appears in the game. The aqua park also appears in the game.
I mean, I want to think that it was a good adaptation, like, for what you say with the characters. But that's also a problem. I mean, I want to say that because I can't imagine those characters having other kind of conflict in their stories than like maneuvering around like how to talk to each other and do their relationship stuff. But yeah, if this is a sequel, then they should have another conflict and not just doing that still. Like, you were already together, you shouldn't do more of what you were doing.
Yes, I imagine it's a better continuation for fans rather than a good adaptation in its own right. Was it a Yata, a Nani, or a Baka, Arturo?
This is absolutely a Baka for me. Like, oh my god, it was such... For 30 minutes, it feels like one of the longest anime I've watched in this entire podcast, which, you know, it's a lot for 30 minutes. But the character is just the complaining and the weird undertones. And just, no, it was not for me at all.
And goes?
Well, like Arturo says, I think it was more for, like, young teens who would relate to this kind of situation. But I want to be generous and give it a Nani because my brain kept finding like different implications and stuff, like, and making it funnier for myself. So I'm gonna be generous and give it a Nani.
For me, yeah, Baka. It's a non-story. Girl misses boy, fancies her cousin, gets to keep dating boy, and. I do have something to say, though. Kenna's autistic. Like, we all got that, right?
No, I did not. In the slightest.
She's super upset about the teacher staying with them. This wasn't run past me. I'm supposed to be studying. This is stressing my studying. When leaving the pool, she was about 5 meters away from everyone else, and Mom says, "You're too far away." And she had to hurry up.
I mean,
so she's keeping an eye on her. She needed approval so that she could run after her boyfriend just down the road.
I don't know. Like, in modern terms, you might suspect that, but back then, And also, in like the Japanese culture, then it wouldn't be that clear if she's autistic or if she's just really timid.
Yeah, that's fair. But certainly in modern terms, it comes across to me as someone who's dealt with autistic people for a number of years now, that she's definitely on the spectrum.
No, I can definitely see where you're coming from. But, you know, I don't have the personal expertise to really say in this case, because I only have one autistic cousin, and she's lovely, but I don't really interact with her a whole lot, haven't for a few years now. So I would be coming in from assumptions, and I don't like doing that.
So does it deserve my analyst score of 4.89?
Yes. I honestly, this is one of the most fitting, like, scores. It wasn't so bad that it'd be like burn it and like break it apart. I definitely see there's an audience for it. So I think a 4 was a surprisingly accurate score this time around.
Yeah, I'd go as someone who doesn't know the visual novel, then yeah, I would go with something like 5. It didn't stand out in any way. It was just it was fine.
I agree. Yeah, I wouldn't change the score at all. So that brings us to the end of our episode. Thank you for joining me, Artura and Gauze.
Thank you so much for having us.
Thank you.
And thank you for listening to the Pals Anime Lounge. And better yet, thank you for subscribing wherever you found this episode. You can find more from us on GameGreen.com, finding us on social media, or listening to the Greencast podcast. Until next time, game on.